appreciate you.
Thank you, Dr. Garcia. Amen. Hey, good to have everybody tonight. Good to have visitors as well. And some that have been not feeling well are feeling well, and they're here tonight. Just good to see a good Tuesday night crowd. Now, very quickly, before I go any further, now, boy, what is that? My mic? My mic doing the thumb? No? Okay. Does it sound okay out there? All right. Why do I ask? It's like, what temperature do you want the thermostat at? You know, one up, one down. Very quickly, though, who needs a handout? If you need a handout or a pen, either one, just slip your hand up real quickly. My wife will get those out. I know she handed a number out during the handshake as well. Okay, good. All right, I want to say thank you for your hospitality on behalf of both Deb and I. Appreciate so much the wonderful meal that was afforded us with your pastor and his wife tonight and a great time of fellowship. And then a very special thank you to Brother Leo for the use of that vehicle. Or is that Miss Sharon's car? Brother Leo's car. Appreciate it so much. I noticed there's this huge scratch all the way down the passenger side. I looked at that today. I thought, I sure hope that was there before he gave that to me. So during the handshake, he's one of the first guys I went to. And I asked him, I said, that scratch down the side. And if he was going to try to hang me out to dry, Sharon blew it because she said, oh, yeah, I don't know why it was on my side. And so it was, I felt a lot better. Is so. No, we appreciate it. Taking a little run to Walmart or the post office in our aircraft carrier is not fun. So we love the PT boat and we appreciate that so much. Take your Bibles. Let's go to the book of Revelation tonight. Revelation chapter 5. All the networks, as I have said every evening, have missed the headline of all headlines, and that is, a king is coming. And if you're saved tonight, he's your king, he's my king, and he's coming again one day for you and for me. Look in Revelation 5, I'll let you remain seated. I want to read just a couple of verses and then move into the thought this evening. Revelation 5, I want to begin reading in verse number 2. A question is asked. We looked at this last night in Revelation 5, 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy? I noted last night that word worthy has the idea, who deserves it? And notice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And look in verse number 11. And I beheld, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beasts and the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, here's the answer to that question, worthy is the Lamb. Say that with me tonight. Worthy is the Lamb. God gets glory out of that statement. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, and wisdom and strength, and honor and glory and blessing. Last night, we noted that this soon-coming king is worthy of glory. And I said last night, and it was our moniker statement throughout the evening, whether you give it or whether he takes it from you, God will get the glory. Why is that? Matthew tells us, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to continue that thought last night, drawn from this text, about the power and the possession of our King. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege we have to be gathered in your Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain for sinners, the one, though he came as your Lamb, he's returning as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In this wonderful name, we ask your blessing on our time tonight. Help us, Lord, in the busyness of life to set aside the cares and concerns. Lord, may tonight you challenge our hearts concerning the glory that's due your and slow to take it. Help us in a day-to-day that lifts up and admires everything except you and everyone except your Son. May we be the ones that exalt him above all others. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Whether you give it or whether he takes it from you, God will get the glory. You know, the psalmist said, if you're taking notes on that little piece of paper, he said in Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. You know, when something's due, it kind of has the idea you owe it. You know what I mean? And the psalmist said, you and I ought to give unto our God and unto our Savior the glory that's due his name. I want to look at giving glory to God tonight. I want to take that big thought we had last night. I want to move it down into our lives on a daily basis. I want to bring those cookies way down to the bottom shelf tonight. Three things we want to look at tonight concerning giving glory to God. Number one, you and I need to recognize that giving glory to God is not normal publicly. It is not normal publicly. What am I saying? Society today, American society in particular, lifts up and glorifies almost everything except the Lord. I have a Yahoo search engine. That's my emails, a Yahoo email. My default page on my computer goes to Yahoo, and I've had that for many, many years, and it's very fascinating because when my page defaults, there's up in the corner a little box that's called Yahoo Top 10 Trending. You ever see that? Top 10 Trending Yahoo. And what it is what's the buzz that day? What's the focus that day? You say, well, how can you illustrate glorifying something? I do it this way. Wow. You admire it. Wow. And you get others to look where you're looking. That has the idea of exalting, lifting up, going, wow. Do you know society says wow about everything and everybody except Jesus Christ today? My Yahoo top trending thing for years, I've seen movie stars in that thing. I've seen sports stars, the buzz of the day. I've seen events. I've seen politicians. I've seen Jesus Christ has never made the top 10 Yahoo trending in American society for all the years I've had it. People today lift up. You can use these words if you want to write them down. Admire. Exalt. Go, wow, admire, go, wow, to almost everything except Jesus Christ. Giving glory to God is not normal publicly. Here's what I've noticed people say wow about in America. Number one, people today glory, they lift up and admire wealth. Write that in there. So oftentimes, particularly their wealth. Wealth is something that's glorified in America today. Materialism and money. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and notice something here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at what's said here concerning wealth. Verse number 17. 1 Timothy 6:17 says this, charge them that are rich in this world. Now watch how the Spirit of God says this. 1 Timothy 6:17, that they be not what? High-minded. What does that mean? They find their value in their wealth. It's their identity. It's what they glory in. It's what they think makes them more valuable than somebody else or more important than somebody else. Y'all with me? That happens all the time in American society. I mean, you just go past you check out Walmart, the newsstands there, just look at what it's all about. It's, you know, wealth and materialism, and that's the American dream. Buying things you don't need with money you don't have to impress people you really don't even care about. I mean, there it is in a nutshell. But people today, society today, does not glorify Jesus Christ. They'll glorify their wealth and its uncertain riches. Number two, I notice this, write this down. People today in society glory in their wisdom. In their wisdom. What do I mean by that? The degrees that are hanging on the wall. What college or university they graduated from. Y'all with me? People today glory in that. They actually think they're more valuable because of the parchment on the wall. And they exalt that and they wow that and they admire others that have that. Look at what's said in 1 Corinthians. The Bible gives us a little glimpse of what God thinks of that. And let me just say, our wisdom compared to God's isn't even close. Notice what's said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse number 25. In 1 Corinthians 1, 25, the church at Corinth had many issues. One of them was trying to get this glory to God thing right. And notice in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25, look at how God puts the context. He says this, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. If God could be foolish, he would still be leap years ahead of the wisest individual on earth. Amen. That's what he's saying. His thoughts are way above ours. Notice what he says, verse 26. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Why? Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You and I need to recognize that as you go out into society today and tonight, you're going out into a world that will glory in their wisdom, not God's. Number three, write this one down. People today in society glory in their abilities. In their abilities. What do I mean by that? Boy, I've watched the sports world, and some guy goes ahead and hits that three-point jumper as the buzzer finishes, you know, wins the game for the team, and what's he do? You know, all about me. Every time I see that, I think, you kidding me? God gave you those talents. And if God just decided to quit right now, you go, tunk. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's over. And then one guy in football takes a knee for the right reason. Tim Tebow takes a knee to glorify God and honor him, and the whole society freaks out. I'm telling you something. You and I need to recognize they will not give him glory out there. Quit waiting for society to do that. They're not into him. They're in and get busy in this area. Amen? They glory in their abilities. Go ahead and write this one down. I see society tonight glory in their appearance. Glory in their appearance. First of all, ladies in their beauty. Ladies, and you know, Proverbs puts that in context. Proverbs 31:30 says this, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, now she shall be praised. Amen. You know what's the sad thing about beauty? You give it enough time, it's going to disappear. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just, you give it about 80 years and all the beauty you have is going to be gone, ladies. All right? Y'all with me? But lest I get in trouble for parking there too long and one of you want a refund on the love offering, let me just move to the men right now, because you know what? Men today glory in their appearance sometimes too. I had to give up running. I was preparing for the Marine Corps Marathon. My left knee started giving out. I've had to give that up, so that bucket list at this point won't get checked off. So I became a Planet Fitness guy, all right, when they're open, if they'll ever open. But I became a Planet Fitness guy, and they're all over the nation, and it's really nice because I can plug into the news, and I can go ahead and I can work out. And whenever I go to one of those, there's always this group of guys. They're working the weights. You ever see guys working weights, these young guys? I mean, they got their tank top, you know what I mean? Their gloves with no fingers. And then, of course, the workout area always has mirrors. And these guys will sit there and they'll be pumping weight. And then they're doing this number. You know, they're just admiring themselves. What am I doing? I'm on my little elliptical. I'm looking at them going, oh, man. You know, I'm sure they're looking. Look at that old man puffing up there on that elliptical. But you know what I'm thinking? Yeah, bub, give you about 40 more years. You'll be up here with me. Your chest is going for your drawers. Your get up and go is going to get up and go
as in leave. Y'all with me? But people today glory in that temporary stuff. They make it so much their identity. It's what they go, wow, about. Amen? Society today, write this one down, they glory in their authority. Their authority, the station of life they have. In other words, the responsibility, and we would say in the military, the rank they hold. And people glory in that. And yet Pilate was told by Jesus Christ, as Jesus Christ looked at him and said, "Do you have any clue who you're talking to?" And Jesus Christ reminded him, "Thou couldest have no power except it were given thee from above." Amen? And yet today, people glory in their authority and their station of life. And then I wrote this one down. They glory in their associations. They glory in their associations. They get all wowed about who they met. They get all wowed about who they know. And you know what I mean? Who they're associated with. You ever fallen into that messy little tit-for-tat game? You're talking to somebody and they say something like this, "Guess who I met the other day?" And you say, "Who?" And they say something like, "I met," and they give you some notable, powerful, well-known individual. Maybe an actor, maybe a politician, you know what I mean? "Guess who I met?" And poof, they throw that out. And like a silly little soul we are, we take the bait, and what do? "Well, guess who I met a couple of years ago?" Yeah, see, you're laughing because we do this, because now we're going to get in the little one-up game to see who has the most powerful and most prominent personality they've met. Who's the biggest somebody, you know, that association factor, glorying in the association, amen? You know, I've always said if we ever want to take that bait, we ought to just cut to the chase and say, "Guess who I met one day? I met the creator of this whole universe. And you know what? He saved me from my sin. He put me in his family. I'm joint heirs with his son, and I have the whole kingdom because of Jesus." Beat that one. You know, the best they can do is tie you. That's the best they can do, is just tie you. They'll never beat it. Amen? Man. Yet, even though we're saved, sometimes we get drawn in to that which society says, wow, about. The biggest person, the biggest personality. We have way more this world could ever imagine. Look at what Jeremiah says. Go there with me. Jeremiah 9. I was telling Deb as I was studying this out tonight and just praying and mulling over it. I said, wasn't it interesting? The church at Corinth got all caught up in personalities. You know, just because you're saved doesn't mean that can't happen. "I am of Paul," they said. "I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas." You know, and it's like, whoa. And he said, "Is Christ divided?" Look at what Jeremiah says. He just puts it in the context. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. He says this, "Thus saith the Lord," Jeremiah 9, 23, "let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." Praise the Lord. You're going to shout about anyone, shout about your king. Amen? You're going to go ahead and just get into all kinds of chatter about somebody, chatter about him. You with me? You and I need to recognize they're not going to do that. I heard the message somebody's bringing Sunday, salt and light. Praise the Lord. That's good to focus on that, but make sure the salt shaker's happening out there and make sure you're lighting up the darkness out there, because all these good things we know about our Savior, they mean nothing to them out there, but we can spread that and change the focus. Amen? Don't wait for society to lift him up. And by the way, I have come to understand sometimes people don't get saved because they don't want to cash in their glory. They don't want to cash in what makes them in their mind special. Their wealth,
their appearance. Their, you with me? Listen, the grave is a great equalizer. You visit Arlington, you'll find privates are buried next to generals. Graves, no respecter of persons. But let me tell you something. Jesus Christ isn't either. He didn't just die for the elite or a certain section. He died for all men, all women, all boys, all girls. And you know what has to happen when someone gets saved? They have to give up their glory, that which they think makes them special. Because all we all are is dirty, rotten, wicked, filthy sinners that need a Savior. Amen? We got to cough up what we think makes us so good. And we got to take a knee and recognize there's nothing good about me. The only one worth anything is Jesus Christ. I'm going to take a knee and trust Him as Savior. There are people today proud of their glory that will never get saved because they don't want to cough that up and became a nobody and trust Jesus Christ as Savior. I hope that's not you tonight. I hope tonight that you recognize you need a Savior. I hope tonight you've come to know Him. Number one, the first thing to recognize about giving glory to God is it is not normal publicly. Number two, look at your notes. Second of all, giving glory to God is not natural. You ready for this one? Personally. I'm going to say that again. Giving glory to God is not natural personally. What do I mean by that? Fill that little blank in there. We have, you have, I have an incredible obsession with self. 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 We are self-absorbed individuals. Let me illustrate to you. You ever seen a group photo and you're in that photo, maybe 15, 20 people, who's the first person you look for? Every time. You ever retell a story from years gone by and had a way of kind of fudging it a little bit, make yourself look a little better, you kind of left out some details, added a few? Oh, I remember that. We had this softball game we played as we traveled as a family ministry. We have six children. Softballs at a soft cover. They're right between a baseball and a softball. And with Deb and I, that made eight of us. We're practically a team right there. And all across America, we didn't just have preaching conferences where the kids would sing and dad would preach. We had youth groups and we had pastors and men waiting to play softball. And they loved it. We used four pitch. Your own person pitched to you, so four pitches. If they're not on base, they're out. All right? So it kept the game going. And I remember this one game. We were down by Atlanta Motor Speedway in Georgia. And I remember, man, Kevin, my oldest son, was the captain of one team. I'm the captain of the other team. Kevin's at that teenager age where he can't wait to beat dad. You know, everything's about one up and dad. And he's like, this is exhausting. But we base up, we pick the teams. The church had people in there. And we're playing away. And it comes to the final inning. Kevin's team is up by three runs. Dad is the final batter. We have two outs. Bases loaded. Casey at the bat. And oh, Kevin, he is like, come on, guys, don't let dad, don't let, you know. And so I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. And I remember that final pitch came to me and pushed right down that third base line into the woods. Man, the bases just spinning around. And I learned when I play that game, you just keep running, man. The odds are they're not going to catch you. So I just run and we're clearing the base, clearing the bases. They get the ball. They throw it in. Kevin's waiting at home. And I slide in before he tags me. Win the game. I would tell that story. And then the kids would start to argue. They'd say, no, no, dad. No, no. You're talking about that one over there at Pastor Barry's church? Yeah, Pastor Barry. No, that is not what happened. Watch what I remember happened. What do you guys say happened? You whiffed the ball to first base. Kimberly just pounced it. You know Kimberly, the one that was a secret weapon for the other team? Nobody ever wanted her? Yeah, yeah, she got you out, Dad. You know? I said, no, she didn't. I hit a grand slam home run. No, Dad. No, Dad. Oh, no, no. And finally I turned to Deb and she'd go, Bella, the kids are right. Now, I'm looking at the replay when we get to heaven because I still think I'm right. But we have this innate ability when we retell the story or retell the event or if there was a
contentious moment that took place, how we kind of shade ourselves a little better than we should. Could I get an amen? You see, giving glory to God is not only not natural or normal publicly, but second of all, it's not natural personally. We have an incredible obsession with self. But thirdly, flip the page. I want to go to the application now, give you a homework assignment, because you and I need to recognize that giving glory to God is not neutral. This is a big point. Giving glory to God is not neutral. What I mean by that is this: it doesn't happen accidentally. It doesn't happen accidentally. You do not get to the end of your day and go, oh, look at that. Don't know how that happened, but I gave glory to God. You don't do that. It's not a trip into thing. It has to be purposeful. Fill in the blank. This will help you. Notice this. It says, I must positively, look with me there, point A, you must positively and on purpose give glory to God with your life, or you put him in the position where he must take glory from your life. You catch that? Giving glory to God is not neutral. You must positively on purpose give glory to God with your life. That's a volition of the will. That you have to literally determine as you begin your day, I am going to, with my lips and my life, give glory to my God. I'm going to make it all about him. It's not going to be about me. I'm going to make it all about him. It's not going to be about all that other stuff the world talks about. Today, I'm going to give him glory. You have to give him glory with your life, or you put him in the position where you force him to take glory from your life. Here's the thing. If I don't positively on purpose give glory to God with my life, I'll usually give that glory to someone or something else. And it's almost always me. So, seven ways, very quickly. We're only going to look at three verses. I want you to fill this out, because the Bible again tells us in Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Number one, what's one way you can give glory to God? It's the first way, salvation. Salvation gives glory to God. Look in Galatians. Here's one of the three verses I want to look at. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. It's in the New Testament, after the Gospels, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and Galatians. Look at what is said in Galatians 1. The Apostle Paul is speaking about his salvation here. He's talking about how God saved him and changed him. And look at what he says here in Galatians 1 and verse number 23. He says this in verse 22, I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, Galatians 1:22, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Look at this. And they glorified God in me. Wow. Could I just say this? Changed lives glorify the Lord. You with me? That drunk that ceases beating on his wife and destroying his family and leaves the bar and comes in and starts singing the praises of Jesus and lives for him, that brings glory to Jesus Christ. Only he could have done that. Amen. Changed lives glorify the Lord. You're here tonight, you say, well, man, I've never quite heard this, and I'm not saved. What could be something I do to glorify his name? Get saved. You're saying the sacrifice of that lamb ought to be honored, exalted, and received by you. He's the one who died for you, and he's worth trusting as your Savior. Amen? Salvation glorifies the Lord. By the way, I mentioned this to your pastor. I did up a new track called Hello, My Name is David, and this is my story. Been giving this out for a year and a half. I've yet to have my first person turn it down. I say, what's your name? They tell me their name. I said, well, my name's David. This is my story. I served in the Marine Corps. I think you're going to like my story. It's got a real happy ending. And boy, they get curious. I've had people stand there the last two times at the post office when I was at working. One was in Alabama. The other was over at Whidbey Island. Just in the last couple months, when I gave it to the In each case, it was a lady. They stopped. People are behind me. And I'm getting ready to leave, and they start reading it. And they take 2 minutes, and they read the whole thing right in front of me. And they finish, and they look up, and I said, "You like my story?" And I'll never forget, a little lady in Alabama says, "That's a good story. Would you pray for me?" she said. A little lady in Whidbey Island says, "That's a great story. I have a story just like yours." You say, "Well, I don't know what to tell people." Why don't you tell them what God did for you when He saved you? You were there. Amen? It's your story. Changed lives glorify the Lord, number one. Number two, gratitude brings glory to God. Look in Luke 17, the second of three verses I want to look at. Look at this in Luke chapter 17. In Luke 17, 10 lepers are cleansed. And look at what's said here in Luke 17 and verse number 15. Go back to verse 14. They cry out to Jesus for mercy. These are 10 lepers. This is a disease that is permanent. There's no getting over it. And it's, notice in verse 14, Jesus says when He saw them, He said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." Luke 17, 14. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Luke 17, 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. See that? How did he do it? Fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. P.S. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to do what? To give glory to God, save this stranger." Do you know tonight, gratitude expressed brings glory to God. Amen? I believe when someone gets saved, I believe when God blesses you, I think we're all grateful. But notice it was the gratitude expressed that brought glory to God. Listen to what Tozer said about thankfulness. He said this, A.W. Tozer, "Gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God. And it is one that the poorest of us can make and be not poorer, but richer for having made it." Isn't that good? The least you can do is be thankful. Amen? And gratitude brings glory to God. Here's a third one. Here's another way you can give glory to God with your life. Righteous living. Just write that in there. Righteous, you could say holy living. The verse that I am going to quote, "Let your light," Jesus said, "so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Amen? Righteous living glorifies the Lord. Number four, write this one in. Confession of sin. Confession of sin brings glory to God. Go to Joshua 7. Here's my third and final verse I want to look at. Go back to the book of Joshua. Don't miss this one. It's a very important point. I think sometimes we do not understand how confessing our sin brings glory to God. Joshua, Achan has disobeyed the Lord. He's brought a curse upon the camp of Israel. And by lots, they narrow it down to who it is that has disobeyed the Lord and brought a curse upon the camp. And notice here in Joshua chapter 7, Achan is taken. And look at what's said here in Joshua 7 in verse number 19. Joshua 7, verse 19, the Bible says, "And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me." You know, confession of sin lifts up, glorifies, and exalts and brings glory to your God. You say, how does it do that? Here's how it works. When we confess, and by the way, here's a little formula that might help you. I believe public sin ought to be confessed publicly. I believe private sin ought to be confessed privately. You always deal with a common report. All right? If that's the reputation, what everybody knows, and it's a public thing, then it has to be dealt with publicly, or they never get help. You with me? Now, y'all look at me like, wow, I never heard that one. But that's it. That you have to, or they'll never be restitution. If it's a common report, you deal with that publicly. That's for them, not just for the others. That's for that person. That's when they watch forgiveness granted publicly, that's a balm to the soul. Amen? But private sin ought to be confessed privately. Y'all with me? All right? I don't need to know all your sins. I'm not spiritual enough to handle that. All right? But here's the thing. What happens when we confess our sin? And by the way, I believe in auricular confession, not to a priest, but to the high priest. All right? There's something about saying my sin with my lips. Right? Lord, forgive me for, say it out loud. Right? He can handle that, okay? Don't tell me I can't handle it. He can handle it. There's something powerful about that. But when you confess sin, what direction do you have to go when you confess sin? What do? It humbles you. It puts you lower. God never has to change where He is. He automatically becomes higher as you go lower. He automatically is seen as lifted up when you humble yourself and confess your sin, because He's sinless. Amen? Confession of sin lifts up God and lifts up Jesus Christ and glorifies their name. Write this one in. Praise. Number 5, praise is a way you can give glory to God. I call that adoration. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, the psalmist says in Psalm 50. Number 6, church attendance brings glory to God. Cars in the parking lot bring glory to God. Ephesians 3:21 says, unto Him be glory in the church. And that's not speaking of this whole giant universal family of God. It's talking about that local assembly called out to do business for the King. Hey, when the bar is full, you know what God they're worshiping. When the parking lot at the bar is full, hey, there it is. I'm telling you, there's something nice about seeing the church parking lot full on a Tuesday night. People got to go, what in the world is another wedding? No, we're heading that way, but amen? No, we're gathering in Jesus' name. We're here to lift Him up, talk about Him. We're talking about the sports stars. We're not talking about all that. We're talking about Jesus tonight, amen? That's it. We're here gathered in His name. Cars in this parking lot on a Tuesday night, let alone a Sunday, tell people, hey, they're wowed about something different than the world is wowed about. Amen? So drive 2 cars next time. Park both of them out there. Probably already do it anyhow. Number 7, write this one in. Witnessing. Witnessing. In other words, speaking about your Savior to others. John 12:32. Now Jesus Christ is speaking very clearly here about His upcoming crucifixion. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Let me just say this in another context. When you speak of your Savior, you're lifting Him up for consideration by others. The world talks about their gods, don't they? The world is not ashamed of their gods. They talk about their teams. They talk about the fun parties they've gone to. Y'all with me? The world lifts up their gods, and they draw us to consider, and they don't understand why we don't admire what they admire. We need to lift up Jesus Christ. Get our eyes up there, go wow, and get other people to say, hey, look at this. Look at Him. Come here, you got to see this. Well, they lift up their stuff. We lift up our King with our lips and with our life. So here, as I begin to wind the thoughts down tonight, not a lengthy message. It's really a homework assignment. I find at least 7 ways in Scripture that you and I can give glory to our King, but I find only one way He takes it, and that is judgment. Write that down. 7 ways I can voluntarily give it to Him, but if I refuse to give Him the glory, it's still His. It's not mine. And if I'm not going to give it to him voluntarily, then he's going to take it from me. For whether you give it or whether you force him to take it from you, God will get the glory. And how he takes it from you is judgment every single time. You know, I think to myself, God gives us at least seven ways to exalt him. There's only one way he takes it, and that's judgment. Shame on us if we force him to do that. Amen? Seven ways you can give him the glory. You know what that means to me? That means tomorrow morning when you get, you're brushing your teeth and you're getting your day going and you're starting it off, you ought to begin your day singing this song. So rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Children of the King. Don't you wait for society to do it. They're not gonna. It's the children's responsibility to glorify their King and their Father. Amen? And here's something I want to just push this in your heart because we look at it as only a lost person thing. If you don't give it, then you'll force him to take it from you. I never forget a couple of the most unique tent meetings our family, I'll close with this thought, our family ever had in the 20 years we were on the road. We had a gospel tent that would seat 300. Kids were a singing group. We preached from Indian reservations over in Yakima with Pastor Glenn Holman to courthouse lawns in Alabama. And I remember the first time we hit the courthouse lawn in Alabama, Somerville, Alabama, the oldest courthouse in the state of Alabama. Less than 100 miles away, they were tearing the Ten Commandments off the walls of the courthouse. And in that courthouse, the deacon of the church was the mayor of the city. And he brought us in, and he went ahead and set us up on the courthouse lawn in his city. I remember when he did that, he had the convicts in their orange jumpsuits actually help set our tent up. He gave me the key to the city, anything you want, anything you need, library, restroom facilities, here you go. It wasn't a big town, but man, he brought us in, set the tent right up in the courtyard of the courthouse. Boy, we had us a meeting. Man, I remember the second time we came, we couldn't even fit them under the tent. 300-400 people all coming, sitting in chairs. Boy, just preaching the word. Man, that was sweet. I remember looking at that mayor and said, how can you do this? I said, other towns, man, they won't even let us in. They'll shut us down. He says, listen, I'm the mayor of this city. He said, if I don't want you in, I'll find a law that says you can't be here. But if I want you here, I'll find a law that says you can. Now, that's authority. Authority does what they want to do at the end of the day. That's what I've found out. Either they're righteous or they're unrighteous, period. But I'll never forget that first tent meeting. I think it was Sunday night. A lady got up to sing a special just before I preached. I still remember her name. Her name was Mary. She had a haunting voice, an unbelievable professional voice, just rich, amazing. But when she sang, she sang almost catching her balance. She shook. She almost looked like she couldn't stand. And as she sang that song that Sunday night before I got to preach, I'm sitting in the front row, sawdusted down, and I still remember the song. There is a river that flows from Calvary. She sang that song. As she sang the song, just crushed my heart. I literally felt like just crawling forward in the sawdust and just burying my face at the altar and just praising God for what he did for me. I've never, ever, ever, ever had a special affect me in my 20 years of preaching on the road like that one did that night. Just unique. She finished singing, and I came up to preach, and while I was there, I noted, I've never been affected that way, sis. I said, with your pastor's permission, could you sing that for the invitation? She said, yes, sir, I'd be willing to do that. She sang it again to close our service out. Nothing changed. Tears coming down my face. Just wanted to just hug on my Savior. I don't know how to describe it. It was just beyond her. It was way beyond her. However God was using her, it was all Him. That's all you saw. Following that service, I pulled her aside and I said, "Sis, I have never been affected that way by a special in all my Christian life. Who are you? What's your story?" She said, "Preacher, I was raised in a Christian home. Came to know the Lord as a young lady. And God gifted me with an incredible voice. And I knew it. It was special. And as I grew up into those teenage years and then into the early 20s, she said, I used my voice to lift up me. Became a professional singer. She said, it was all about me. I used it for me. And then, a few years ago, God struck me with a debilitating disease. It almost killed me. It almost took my life. It almost took my voice. And at the end of all of that, I got my heart right with my Savior. He handed me back that voice I thought I'd never have again. She said, my dear brother, now I just sing for Him. We're so quick to take the glory oftentimes, aren't we? To pocket what isn't even ours to pocket. For without Jesus Christ, we're nothing. And we never would be. We'd just be dirty, rotten, wicked, filthy sinners heading to hell and then the lake of fire. But one day He stooped. He became for us what we could never do for ourselves. And we rose up the recipients of everything. And shame on us for claiming any of it really is ours. Amen? Who do you admire tonight? Who do you live for? What is it you're always chattering about and buzzing about? I sure hope it's not all the junk the world talks about. I hope you're hopelessly devoted to your King tonight. That when He comes, you'll be among those who admire Him. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You tonight for this thought. We ask You to forgive us, Lord, for taking from You that which only belongs to You, the honor and the glory and the praise. Lord, we pause tonight to thank You for our salvation. We pause tonight to give You thanks, Lord, for Your goodness in our lives, the food on our table, the cars in our garage, the homes we have, the health You've blessed us with. We're grateful for it, Lord. We thank You for lips that can praise Your name, mouth that can speak the unsearchable riches of Your Son. Thank You even tonight for the praise we've lifted by song. Thank You for the opportunity to gather. Lord, in a world that exalts everything and everybody else unashamedly, help us as Your people to be unashamed of You, Your Son, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to be bold. Help us to be unashamed. And Lord, may our lips and our life lift up and exalt the Lamb who alone is worthy. Help us to influence them out there. May they not influence us here tonight. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Music's playing softly. I want you